episode 63, he's going on a trip.
Welcome to the First Year Married podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way.
Okay, ladies, I've been threatening to do this episode for a while now, I think. So here it comes, because this is definitely a phenomenon that I've been seeing that I wanted to work on with you. And I've been sort of, you know, it's been like sitting in the back of my head, and I've been kind of gathering things that I wanted to talk about. And then this week, took the cake. I'm going to share with you why. But what I want to talk to you about is this magical, mystical phenomenon in which I see a lot of women as soon as they get married. Sometimes when they get into long-term relationships, but there's something about that ring where they drop a lot of their essential self-preservation. And I don't mean this actually in the technical meaning of self-preservation, like you're checking to make sure that you're physically safe, but in some ways, yes. What I mean is that the things that you do as an independent, strong, capable single woman, the making sure you have space in your life for friends, or even when you have areas, let's say you know that you're working a little too hard, but you know that that's a choice that you're making and you might want to reevaluate it, right? You make sure that you get the water and the food that you need, all of these things. When the ring goes on, it's like it somehow becomes his responsibility for a lot of us, right? And even if we're still doing it, subconsciously, we feel like either it's somehow hurtful if he's not making sure that we've eaten. Like it tends to be these like very baseline, you know, physical self-care needs, or we're disappointed that the marriage, this brand new thing that just entered into that whole beautiful life that you had, isn't filling all the buckets that before you used to go to lots of different places to fill, right? So like the friend that you would go to let loose, and the friend that you would go to cool places, and the person that you would talk to when you wanted to make plans and you needed mentorship. Sometimes we just forget that we had all these other networks, or even if we didn't, we didn't expect them of one person until we got married, and now he somehow is expected to provide like the social outlet and the spiritual connection and all of these things, right? And it puts a tremendous amount of weight on the relationship. And then when it comes to the physical self-care things, it's just completely unrealistic. But since I see it so many times, I think there's something deeper to it. Like, I don't think that it's just a mistake. Like, nobody is thinking like, oh, great, now I don't have to remember to drink water anymore now that I'm married. It's not happening on a conscious level. But start to notice it, because it does happen for a lot of women where they just feel like if he cared, he would notice. He would take care of me more, right? And just, I like to remind myself, okay, well, he married a woman who knew how to drink water. Like, not a woman who always forgot. So let me just be her, right? The person that he married in the first place. So the reason this came up for me this week is because my husband is not at the time that you're hearing this, but at the time that I'm recording it, my husband is in London on a business trip. First of all, I'm just so jealous. I'm green with envy. My eyes are green. No, I'm super jealous that he's there and I'm not, but beyond that, what cracked me up was that as soon as he gave me the times and it was really getting real and like not like, okay, they kind of want me to come, but then it was like, no, here's the plane ticket. Then immediately I had three things that came up in a checklist in my brain of, okay, well, when he's gone, you're going to need to do this, this, and this. Okay. And these were not like to make things keep running. These were things that I was going to need to be able to function optimally that I sometimes rely on him for. Now, the number one and the most obvious to me right off the bat is a little peek into our life. I generally take my shower before I go to bed. My husband takes his shower in the morning. There isn't really time for me to shower in the morning, but if I stay up way too late and I'm super burned out, sometimes I'll go to bed without the shower and then in the morning, hope that someone will accommodate me so that I can take my shower, right? And it's very much coming from a place of victimhood. I'm so tired. I just can't do it. It's not fair that I have to be the one to take the shower at night, even though I prefer to take a shower before I go to sleep. But that doesn't, that's not how the victim in our brain talks, right? It's not fair. And I just want a break already. Like I just need one night where I could just go straight to bed. Like that's going to be so great, right? The only thing that really broke me of this, and I learned this from, this is such a random tangent that I was not planning on including in this episode, but it's great. So I learned somewhere once about how they marketed toothpaste. Okay. And when it was just about that, this will help with dental hygiene and not getting cavities, that wasn't motivating for people. But then they started talking in the marketing about how your teeth will feel squeaky clean. And then there was this I talked about this in the episode, short-term gains, right? There was a short-term gain for brushing your teeth. I want that squeaky clean feeling. In fact, it's kind of gross that my teeth don't feel squeaky clean right now, right? Like that's, we all have that, I think most of us. And that's where it comes from, is that that marketing was so much more effective, even than you're going to have to be drilled by a dentist, which sounds a lot more like that should be the thing that motivates us. But on a day-to-day basis, having to brush our teeth a couple times a day, it's actually reminding people of that feeling. So at some point after, years of total self-pity about the shower situation, finally just said, but it's so nice to climb into bed when I'm clean. It just feels so good. So it was like my squeaky clean teeth thing, right? That's actually what ended up bumping it over. But even though I pretty much have that and it's not such a problem anymore, it was number one that came up on my list, is I'm absolutely going to have to take a shower every night because there isn't going to be anyone to cover for me in the morning. And then I had a couple other ones, making sure that I have the food that I need to eat and things like that. So it just fascinated me, right? Because after all this time of talking to the newlyweds that I work with about making sure that you're taking care of your physical needs, this showed me that when he was out of the picture, I had a whole other level of like commitment to my physical well-being. And why don't I have that always, right? Like, why isn't that always on my radar? So I wanted to sort of give this to you in terms of three takeaways from this. And the first one would be, imagine that he's about to go on a trip, like right now, like tonight he's leaving, or whenever you're listening to this, the next day. So what do you know for sure you've got to do? And this will be different for those of you who have, you know, a bunch of kids at home, or those of you who are really newly married, because I know we've got kind of a broad audience here on the First Year Married podcast. We're all having First Year Married all over again, some of us. But whether you're taking care of other people or you're only taking care of yourself, if you knew that he was going to be out of the picture for the next couple of days, are there any self-care needs that you would be doing? And then just noticing that is going to show you, is there a place where maybe you're relying on him that you don't need to be, right? That you could take ownership of that back and be able to function from a place of less, again, less victimhood, right? More of that empowered, amazing woman that he married. The other one is the other piece of him going on a trip, right? Which happens for a lot of women. I mean, my husband's been doing business trips for many years. So I know not everyone listening here has a husband who does business trips, but I think you can pretty much imagine. They're not so hard to wrap your head around. When a husband is about to leave, so often there's like a lot of ideas that come up, right? Like either things that I want to do around the house, or oh my gosh, I'm going to call that friend, or maybe I'll go get coffee with her, right? Or just different things of like, I think I'm going to do this now because like I've got a little bit of space. And the reason for this I learned from Alison Armstrong is that part of the female brain is kind of a constant checking on all the people in our atmosphere. And that includes our husband, right? And when he's home, that's like, it doesn't just include him. He's the most of that. When he's home, there's like a piece of our brain that's like monitoring him in a way. Like, how's he doing? Is he grumpy? Is he fine? Is he fat? Like what's happening over there with that guy, right? Which is totally not how the male brain functions, which sometimes I wish I could just take a vacation over there for a minute. But in the meantime, so when the husband is going away, then there is like a quiet in the house that you don't experience, right? Of like, oh, just because sometimes he doesn't even want our attention, but he's taking it anyway, just by being present, right? And so when he's not there, then all of a sudden it's like, I think I might work on that thing, or I might read that book, or just this sort of, this mental energy gets freed up. And that, first of all, can give you some of the like fun things that maybe have been on the back burner that you might just have to push through a little more intentionally in your day-to-day life But again, it's just we imagine the idea of him going on a trip to get these ideas. Okay. So what did pop into your head? What would you want to do? Which things did I suggest that you were like, ooh, that's one for me. You know, would I go wander around a bookstore for an hour? Like maybe I would, right? It's one of those things that Gretchen Rubin always says, the things you could always do, you never do, or things that can always get done, never get done, I think is how she puts it. It's one of those things, right? Where like, okay, I could technically go out for coffee with my friend anytime, but if I know he's not going to be around, so this might be the time to do it. Or I could technically just go wander Michael's. That was always my place, like wander Michael's for 30 minutes, but maybe I should do that now because he's going to be away. So part of it is noticing those positive things. The other one, and this took me many years of marriage to be able to figure out, is that for some of us, we do need to carve out that alone time and it needs to actually be alone. There's a different quality of time alone when he's in the house, even if he's busy with his own thing, versus when you're really the only one there, or at least you're like in very separate parts of the house. The way we solve for this is that as soon as I realized it, we actually started building into the schedule time where I would be home with nobody else there. And it's not a lot that I need, but I'm more of an introvert, I think, than my husband. I definitely have enough of an introvert side that I definitely need time alone. And I like having time alone in my own space. That felt really mean, right? At first, like, hey, could you leave? Love you, right? It doesn't seem so nice. And so I put off asking for it for a long time. And I was very pleasantly surprised that when I actually explained, like, what I really need right now is to recharge my batteries and I need time alone, and I really want that time to be in the house. Is there anything that you would be willing or interested in doing out of the house to give me that time? Totally went over fine. Now, that might just be because my husband has firsthand experience of how cranky I get when I don't have time alone. Hopefully not. Hopefully this is something that I think when we explain it, like, it does kind of make sense. And even if he doesn't feel the same way, there might be something he just wants to do. And when you're just like, hey, can I have 2 hours in the house or the apartment sometime this month or this week, or you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be at any certain amount or certain time schedule. Then he gets the permission to go do his thing, right? Because he's already giving to you. The very last one is what happened after he had already left, which was I got really sad, right? And I noticed it like at different points in the day. And at first I wanted to not be sad, so I tried to think about something else. But then I was like, wait, no, this is great. I really want to be in a marriage where I miss my husband when he's gone. This is a very good thing. So I'm going to just notice all of the thoughts that I'm having that make me sad, because really the sadness is coming from like, I miss him. It's not a sadness from like, I don't have something that I need. And let me notice all of those things. So the last piece of this exercise of imagining him going on a trip is to start gathering together in your head, because we always need to give our brains time to focus on the positive in our marriages, right? As I've said so many times, our brains are going to automatically go a little negative. So we just kind of have to have some time. So as you're listening to this podcast right now, like, what are five little things, or two little, one, I don't care, a few little things that if he was going to be gone for the next couple of days, would just be a little sad, right? For me, it wasn't anything big or romantic. It was just like, you know, knowing he's in the house when I lock up at night, or, you know, seeing him briefly in the kitchen during the morning. Even though we don't all sit down for breakfast together, but I would see him and have a couple words about our day and not having that opportunity, right? So gathering those things so that we're just adding more to that positive side and we're spending time showing our brains how to spend time over there, right? Because our brains, since they don't go there naturally, they might not spend a lot of time on the positive side. And when we do it, we just start these little pathways, right? That becomes stronger and stronger and stronger until that becomes a more automatic thing. And I don't think it's ever a place where we can just assume that it can go on autopilot and we never have to work on positivity, but it definitely can become easier. There can be new favorite thoughts that we have about our husband, right? Things that we really enjoy about him, things that we would miss if he was gone, that we can come back to time and time again. Okay, ladies, so those are your three takeaways from my husband's trip to London, is imagining the trip and how, number one, you would be up-leveling your self-care if you knew that it was all on you to take care of yourself. Number two, what would you do with that extra space? And are those things you want to add into your life now, right? So that you are more fulfilled. And number three, what are the things that you would miss? And spend some time being grateful that you have something so wonderful to miss. Okay, my dears, it is always such a pleasure to speak with you, even though I'm a bit raspy and stuffy today. So. And I will talk to you right here, right back next week. We've got a lot of some exciting things coming down the pipeline for First Year Married, but you're going to have to be patient. But those of you who feel like you really do need some more support right now, I do have a couple more spots open for one-on-one coaching, but those are filling pretty fast. So you just go to firstyearmarried.com, click on the link that says personal coaching, and you will get the application to fill out to discuss coaching one-on-one. Okay, have an amazing week, all of you, and I will see you right back here next week. Bye-bye.